Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
We'll be there tomorrow. Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. They are sponsors of our number two. Come on by, have a little lunch with us. We'll get you ready for the new week in the NFL. I know I wish it wasn't Jets and Broncos, but it is. At least there's a game. There's some college football going on as well. We'll do fantasy football. We'll do all that and more. But come have some lunch and enjoy sights and sounds of us doing our show there at Vinny's. Hour two, though, now can get on their way. As we remind you, you have made it to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
It is Shock Team of Digital Underground. Head coach Sean of the Peyton has already spoken. We've been playing some cuts from his teleconference this morning with local reporters. His football team about to wrap up practice here in a little bit. Our first injury report will come out later today, 4 o'clock. Get to your Twitters then. Words of wisdom. Now, at the end of the game on Sunday, head coach Sean Payton said he believed and they were planning and hoping that Marcus Davenport would be ready to go. So it would help, don't you think? Huh? I think so. Anything would help right now, only 7. Even on Yamada also didn't play against the Packers. Maybe the chances that he's ready to go. Michael Thomas, could he be ready to go? Do you try to throw him out there right now? Or do you go with the until you absolutely are fine approach, which they did with Alvin Kamara last year? Or do you go, hey, Mike, can you at least give me a slant? Little slant. Help out the offense here or not? We've been kind of trying to assess in hour one, if you're just joining us. I had a little fun by
as
playing.
As we approached today, I think we felt...
I was having a little fun by playing, the sounder of the Nostromo, the spaceship over in Aliens, self-destruct sequence, right? Are we ready to hit that just yet, or should I have it queued up like I have it ready to go if the Saints lose to the Lions? Again, my point that I was making, though, is the Lions' 2 losses this season have come to the Bears and Packers. They are both undefeated. And they went out to the Cardinals, a team that many people have been high on after their 2-0 start, and beat them 26-23. So are you concerned a little bit going into this game here? When are you hitting the old panic button? And what is your definition of panic? What do you do when you're panicking? What would the Saints do if you're saying it's time to push the panic button? Does that mean more Taysom Hill passes? We've already had 3 of y'all. Call for Jameis Winston. Is that when we're panicking? Is that the definition of, all right, we're now panicking? Jameis is your starter? Is it the offense? I'm interested also in the injury report today. Jared Cook, remember he left the game. I want to say it was a hammy. Is it a hammy? Hammy or groin? I think it was a hammy. After that reception on the sideline there, far side. But Sean Payton, this is back after the game on the 28th. The decision to sit on Yamada and Davenport and not play them, kind of hinting that he was hoping he'd get them both back this week.
As we approached today, I think we felt Marcus was going to be ready. We felt like next week, and hopeful David is as well. We'll keep you guys posted, but... we did what was best for this game.
All right, so that's why they didn't play Sunday night. But, again, Sean kind of hinting he feels he'll be ready to go this week. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Will Guillory coming up next. We'll talk NBA Finals. We'll talk Doc Rivers interviewing in Philadelphia. I know the Pels reached out to him. At least the reports by Mark Spears were that the Pels and Sixers reached out to Doc. Doc took the phone call and apparently set up an interview with Philly. There might be an interview with New Orleans. I don't know. We just know from Sham Sharania from The Athletic that he is interviewing with Philly. So if I'm the Sixers, I don't want him walking out the door, right? For you Pels fans, they would have liked Doc Rivers to come here. Let's see what happens there. Head coach Sean Payton touched earlier, and I played it, about the penalties. Again, 330-plus yards, 9 pass interference calls. And what did I say yesterday? I said, I get it. Some of those are bad calls. Ticky-tack, just, I mean, the Bucks game, 1 or 2, I'm like, come on, man. I mean, some of those were bad, yes. And yes, you can tell me the one that went 55 rows into the seats in your mind. Uncatchable on Marcus Williams. I've told you why that flag got thrown. Jeff Duncan agreed with me. When you make a beeline to the receiver, two-hand hard touch, chuck him, make him airborne without turning your back or even looking and trying to locate for the ball, that is a flag every time. That ball could have hit the terrace. Referee just sees you making, he didn't even attempt to play the ball. So technique, turning your hips. I mean, again, Janoris Jenkins is, you know, playing armbar with the Packers. He's facing Rodgers. He's watching the play. The ball's coming at him. He's standing next to him. Let go of his arm. Get ready to jump. Try to knock it out of his hands. Or at worst, when he catches it, his heels on the back of the end zone. Chunk him. Then chunk him. Go Marcus Williams. Because in the NFL now, you can actually shove a receiver when he's making the catch so he doesn't come down inbounds. You can do it. He spends like 3 seconds holding the guy's arm. That's technique. That's what Coach was talking about this morning.
I don't think we've noticed it specifically. I mean, we've certainly noticed calls that are affecting our team adversely, and specifically, you know, our DPI numbers, our holding calls defensively on the perimeter have to get cleaned up. And then, obviously, you notice the calls that shouldn't have been made.
And also, again, and like, believe me, that was a bad crew. I'm not absolving the Zebras or the referees for not making the appropriate calls or whatever. But some of those PIs just play better. I mean, again, I watched Pats Raiders, greatest tight end in Monday Night Football history, was single covered the entire game. Non-existent. It just had better defensive backs, or better defensive backs play, or better defense. That's why Monday I'd put Malcolm Jenkins on the seat next to Coach. Yeah, he led the team in tackles, had a great game. Great stop on that fourth down. Malcolm Jenkins had a great game. I put him on a bench because where was half of that effort against the Raiders? He plays half of that way on that Monday night. Maybe the Saints win that game. And it wasn't just him. It wasn't just him. But he had a lot of it. I mean, when the Monday night crew is literally saying he's having a bad game, that's not a good thing. Lewis Riddick, he's having a rough night. Head coach Sean Payton, man, I got to figure out these issues, he says.
We've got to play better. We've got to be better in our assignment. We've got to be better with our technique.
Boom. I agree 100%. That's the frustrating element of the Saints 1-2 start. Again, tale of two halves with the last two losses. They played really well against the team that I would put 1 or 2 in the NFC right now. Green Bay. They were up 17-7 at Vegas. Things looked really good. Felt relaxed. Literally was like, I just got to wait here to the end of the game so I can do my report and everybody can write their stories. Right? Maybe that's a storyline going into this week against Detroit. Do the Saints have an adjustment problem? Do the Saints have a second half problem? 13 points by the defense in half one. 24 points by the defense to the Packers in half two. You go back to that Raiders game. Saints, again, started out 17-7. Things looked really well. Again, I was comfortable. I think you were too, right? Now to get up 17 in the second. and 17 in the second half. Now, the offense didn't do anything. They didn't help their cause with just 7 points in the fourth. So, but is that still a storyline, though? And again, it's one of the storylines that I threw out there at ESPN Radio NOLA. It's a little pressure by that defense. Only 7 sacks this season. Mr. Poor Boy, his response to whether or not a storyline this week is, if the Saints fall to the Lions, it's time to press the panic button. And then he sends a nice GIF for bleep's sake. The four-letter word that starts with F. He also says if the Saints lose to the Lions, he already has me the emergency situation GIF ready to go. So y'all would be a little panicky, little the bleeps hitting the fan if you lose to the Lions. Even though, like I just told you, I mean, look, I was with you. I'm sitting here, I'm like, dude, this is a game you can't lose. Their two losses have been to undefeated teams, Bears and Packers, and they went and beat a previously unbeaten team in Arizona. Anthony, agreeing with me, by far, Kyle Hendricks is the best for the Cubbies. They're about to get on their way. I'm going to give you a baseball update here in a second. He wants to see what you can do. Fly the W. I see that. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate the tweet there on the Cubbies. So, I think one of the things that we'll keep an eye on is that, for sure, right? The Monster chiming in at the Monster 1980 on Twitter. Heat and the Heat. One of the questions of the day I threw out there at ESPN Radio NOLA. Who you got? Who do you want to win? Like, who do you think wins? But who do you want to win? I think a lot of people are absolutely going full Miami here, right? Full Miami. Yesterday, Major League Baseball playoffs, the Astros won 4-1 over the Twins. White Sox defeat the A's 4-1. Blue Jays lose at Tampa 3-1. And the Yankees, sorry, Joey, beat the Cleveland Indians 12-2-3. 8 games today. 8. They're all over the ESPN and Turner networks. Cubs and Marlins are off and running. That game on ABC, no score. Top of the first, 2 outs for the Marlins there. Bottom of the 7th, Reds and Braves. They start at 11 a.m. this morning. Daniel Salerson probably sweating this one. It is no score. Reds with 6 hits, Braves with 2 hits, since he also has an error in this game. But it is no score. Bottom of the 7th. This game is in Atlanta. Airing right now on ESPN, over on ESPN2 right now. Astros up 1-0 on the Twins. Twins have a nice regular season the last couple of years. Can't get a win in the postseason. It's incredible. When you think about it, Houston leads the series 1-0 now and up 1-0 in the top of the 4th inning batting with runners on 1st and 3rd. Coming up at 2 o'clock on ESPN, White Sox at the A's. I mentioned Chicago leads that series 1-0. Blue Jays, Rays on TBS at 3 o'clock. Tampa Bay leads that series 1-0. At 4 o'clock, the dreaded St. Louis Cardinals on ESPN2 take on the Padres. It's going to be an interesting series here, right? So we'll see how that goes. Yankees look to go up 2-0 against the Indians. 6 o'clock tonight, ESPN. Also on ESPN, the late game, Brewers at the Grass Dodgers. Remember Jordan? If you're listening, right when they start throwing that first pitch, I need tweets, texts on how the Dodgers are going to smoke and sweep the Brewers. Let's test out if you can be the Jinx. Todd won't like you. He'll probably never speak to you again. But if it knocks out the Dodgers from the playoffs, do it. Hour 2 is brought to you by Vinny's 3217 Ridgeley Drive in Metairie. When we come back, Will Guillory. We'll talk NBA Finals. Game 1's tonight. And also, Doc Rivers, is he leaving Philly at all for another interview? Or are they going to lock him then? Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Because you will.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town, and we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Ever walk in the kitchen late at night and there's T. Roach? He's a tough bayou bug, so he don't run. He just stares at you, knowing he's got hundreds of hungry buddies around your house ready to take his place when he's gone. Luckily, we have Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster ready to rid your home or business of pests, from nasty roaches to destructive termites. Call for a free inspection.
So call those bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Can we talk
sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. NBA Finals game number one tonight, 8 o'clock. Lakers taking on the Heat. It's one of the questions of the day. Who you got? What do you like today? Or who do you think's going to win? Or who do you want to win? Will Guillory, the Athletic, joins us. We'll get into the NBA Finals first. I got to ask you how you doing this beautiful Wednesday afternoon in New Orleans. How are you, sir?
Oh, my God. It is gorgeous weather outside. I'm just happy that we're not ducking and dodging hurricanes every 2 days anymore. So
it was nice, right? For a while, it almost felt like it was part of the routine. I'd get home, put on the Weather Channel, wait for the news, and wait to see what's in the tropics. I mean, I saw way too many circular doodahs in there for a while. So yeah, it's nice. I'm going to like the taste of fall because normally, Will, I'm no meteorologist, but if we're getting cold fronts, that means the wind's coming from north to south, and it pushes any chance of a hurricane coming in.
I love it. We need all those northern winds we can get, man.
That's right. I love it. You know what we need around here as well? Head coach. I know a lot of Pelicans fans were excited. And a good amount called yesterday and touched on why they would like Doc Rivers. It was maybe surprising to some. I think, Will, when you looked at and spoke to or read from people in L.A., probably not as surprising that the Clippers parted ways with Doc Rivers. And as expected, it didn't take long for people to be interested. Sixers, Pelicans reportedly were the first two teams to give Doc Rivers a call, and he's in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, we knew as soon as Doc hit the market that, you know, everybody would want a piece of him. I mean, he's one of the most successful coaches around, you know, one of the most well-respected guys, a long track record of winning, developing relationships with his players. I mean, he's the ideal guy that you will want with pretty much any franchise, and I think he'll be a tremendous fit with the Pelicans. I think the biggest issue is the same kind of issue we've spoken before about with Mike D'Antoni, Tyronn Lue. How much of these guys are looking for a win-now situation like Philly or Houston, and how much of those guys are looking to get into the, you know, the grind with this young New Orleans team, help Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram develop into stars. I think you got to be willing to kind of take that 2-3 year development stage to help them get there. Mm-hmm. But it feels like, you know, whichever coach grabs a hold of this team has the potential to, you know, to push them to the highest heights in the West if they do it the right way.
All right. So the intern and I kind of got excited about this yesterday. I'm talking about raising the voices here, right? Because we were talking about this. Like, if you're Doc Rivers, which one do you like? And, you know, obviously East versus Western Conference came up. Who has an easier path to go? And my argument was this, Will, that going into the bubble, many Pels fans thought they were a playoff team. And if Zion will be healthy, many Pels fans tell me they're a playoff team, including the intern in front of me. But for some reason, yesterday, like, well, they're not, you know, next year outside looking in. I got people telling me next year they'll be outside looking in, whereas opposed Philly, they'll be in the postseason. But the point that I was making, Will, is what if New Orleans is a middle team in the eights, right? Maybe five, six, seven. And Philly is around there as well, because I would say there's four teams maybe above them, or at least in that contention era. So it's not like they're number one in the East. And, you know, they're in the middle of the pack, so is it that much of a difference? Do you get what I'm getting at? Do you think the Pels could be a 6-7-8 seed if they're all healthy?
Okay, absolutely, especially if we consider, you know, the expected growth of Zion Williamson. I think that's something that a lot of people just don't know as of right now, but I think, you know, he's going to be a problem come next year if he's in shape and healthy. I mean, we saw how dominant that guy can be, and if they can get a full season out of him, I think there's no question the Pelicans should be one of the top eight teams in the West. And I think the big question is, you know, what's the ceiling on that team? Because it's one thing to get into the playoffs and lose in the first round, but how far can you possibly go? How far can you take this team? I think that that's the big question with this next coach. You know, who's that guy and how can they get them to the next level when you have a young star like Zion Williamson? We've seen with Anthony Davis, Chris Paul. Those guys want to be a part of a team that not only gets them to the playoffs, but gets them into the conference finals, gets them to the NBA finals. You know, that's the big question. I think another factor when you talk about a guy like Doc Rivers is how much does his presence get more guys like a J.J. Redick or a Derek Favors or a Jrue Holiday to look at New Orleans and say, I want to be a part of that situation because of Doc. I mean, we've seen that with the Clippers, with Boston, when Doc was there. Guys respect him to the highest degree, so
right.
Maybe your clock speeds up if you can get some veterans to come to New Orleans who want to play with Doc. So I think that's all a part of the equation as well. But I think no matter what, with this team being so young, it's going to take them at least 2 to 3 years before they can be considered real contenders in the West. It's just a matter of, you know, what path you take to get there.
So is that, because I'm glad you went along those lines, because that was kind of what Jordan's argument was like, you're not guaranteed the postseason. So I'm like, well, if that's the case and that's your problem, then you're going to have a problem getting a guest, quote unquote, a big name coach to come here or something, or somebody wants to win now. So how do you counter that? Well, what is your selling point if you're David Griffin? Because they were interested. They reached out. So they want someone like that. But how do you counter if he goes, man, you guys aren't ready to win right now?
Yeah, I think the big thing for them is just the long-term security. I think when you look at situations like Philly, Houston, while there's a potential for a long playoff run with the right coach, and maybe you can make a run to the finals, maybe you can have a puncher's chance at a championship, but the feel, I think, around both of those teams is, you know, if it doesn't work out in these next 2 years, then there's going to be major changes. Maybe Russell Westbrook gets traded, or maybe Joel Embiid gets traded. It feels like if you don't make it work right now with those teams, then it's going to implode. And I think the selling point for New Orleans is, hey, you come here, this is a long-term project. You can feel comfortable in your job of building this thing long-term and not feel like you got to look over your shoulder or not feel like one playoff failure will be it and you're out the door. You know what I mean? So I think that's something that's appealing to coaches to say, okay, I can feel like I can stretch my legs out in New Orleans and kind of see how I can make this team an image of myself. Mm-hmm. Rather than going in and feeling the pressure, like we've heard David Griffin talk about it, he felt in the past in Cleveland, when you have that pressure of, we have to win right now, today is the day we have to win, that's an added pressure that's difficult to deal with for a lot of guys.
Agree.
And I think coming to New Orleans, you won't necessarily feel that in year one.
Yeah, different level of expectations for sure. Speaking with Will Guillory of The Athletic. Will, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals here shortly. Got some interesting sound. But one final thing on the Pels and their coaching search. Are you surprised that we haven't had an interview or a chit-chat or brought in to talk to somebody else or anything like that? I mean, Lakers and Heat are still playing. Could they have coaches on those benches that perhaps David Griffin wants to talk to first?
Yeah, I'm sure that's a possibility. I mean, we've heard Jason Kidd's name thrown out there. He's still in the bubble with the Los Angeles Lakers right now. And I think we're going to start hearing more stuff about people doing more in-person interviews. In New Orleans, I think we've already heard some of that stuff going on in Philly and some of these other places. So I think now that, you know, teams are a little bit more comfortable about how they can do those things, or, you know, more coaches are available, I think we're going to start hearing more of those talks happen. I just think, like I said, I think it's a matter of they've got to see how those bigger jobs fall out before some of these other coaches start looking around. I think we're probably going to see a Philly job go down, or maybe even the Clippers, you know, figure out their situation before New Orleans, just because I think those jobs are just so hot, and I think a lot of people are attracted to the possibility of winning immediately. But I do think, we've said it before, that Griff wants to take this process solely. He doesn't want to rush into anything. So I think they're going to get into it, but I don't think they're going to move as fast as some of these other clubs with higher expectations.
All right, Will Guillory, Finals MV, the game one of the NBA Finals is underway. Well, I don't know why they're playing it, right? Lakers are going to win. LeBron will be the MVP, the legacy. I mean, I've heard all of this, but I said for about a week, 2 weeks, every time you come on, to anybody comes on, I think the Heat will give whoever they were going to face game. Bam, if he's healthy, I don't know how that wrist is, but whatever it was, that arm that he was kind of holding that last game. You know what Butler's been able to do? We saw Tyler Hero can provide some scoring. I'm not counting anything Eric Spoelstra is doing out. So it'll be interesting to me to see what I see, because I've seen a Lakers team struggle unless they get consistent or good guard play. And AD has been absolutely the key for the Lakers run this year. I know LeBron had his moments. He's had some minutes, and I get it. But I think legitimately AD is the key here. I'm kind of eyeing that matchup, AD and Bam. If Bam can make him uncomfortable, that could be a key matchup in this series.
Oh, yeah, no question. And anybody who's heard me on the show before knows that I love me some hashtag Heat culture, man. I love what Miami has done with this young group, you know, with so many guys with a chip on their shoulder. And I think the guy at the top of that list, no doubt, has been Bam Adebayo, you know, who, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people, you know, no, I don't think anybody expected him to be this good in literally his first season as a starter. I mean, last year, you know, he was backing up Hassan Whiteside, and now this guy's dropping 30 in closeout games in the Eastern mm-hmm. Conference Finals. It's unbelievable. But I think, you know, you're exactly right that that AD, and I wrote this, you know, in our big athletic preview that went up today. I think the big difference for L.A. and all of these series they've played so far is that it's really tough to beat a team when they have the two best players on the court. And every series they've played so far, LeBron and AD have been the two best players. They've dominated both sides of the court. They've come up in big moments and closeout games. They've been incredible. And I think somehow, some way, the Miami has to find a way to disrupt that connection between those two guys, because mm-hmm. if LeBron and AD are dominating again, there's no way they're going to stop them. And it has to start with Bam against AD. I think Miami is going to try to be careful in that matchup. I don't know. I don't think we're going to see Bam defending AD the entire game, because we know how good AD is at drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line and putting other big men in foul trouble. I mean, we've seen in the past. I remember I was in the building when I saw AD literally foul off the entire Phoenix front line one game when he had 50 against Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean, we know
yeah.
how good he is at getting it to the line. So I think they're going to try to hide Bam and maybe save him for the fourth quarter against AD. But the other part is, you know, defending that Miami offense. They're so multifaceted, and they can attack you in so many different areas. We know how dominant AD and LeBron are, but they're going to need those other guys to step up to limit all of those different Heat role players, because we've seen they can have Tyler Hero go off. They can have Duncan Robinson go off. Jay Crowder might hit 5-3. Andre Iguodala is going to step up. So if those mm-hmm. Lakers role players don't step up as well, it's going to be a tough series for them.
You know what else I think will be key to kind of keep an eye on here? I got about a minute and a half here, Will. Rondo, you know, he helped close out some games or sway momentum, but with a couple of good minutes here. So playoff Rondo, who do you think will be, is it Hero? Does Hero counter what Rondo brings?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, why I really like Rondo in this series and why I like what he's done so far in the playoffs, because we know how much pressure is on AD and LeBron to create basically every single time down for that Lakers offense. And Rondo's emergence has kind of taken the pressure off of those guys where they don't have to create every single shot, especially LeBron. We know how much he's taken on becoming the point guard for this Lakers team 17 years into his career. Just having another guy who can get you some transition opportunities, who can bring the ball up, get them into offense without LeBron having to do it every single time. I think he's going to be extremely important. And I think where that importance comes into play is how he handles getting attacked on the other end. So if he can defend, I think that'll be the big difference as well.
All right, Will, who you got and how many games?
I got Lakers in six, man. I think that AD, LeBron, factor is just too much, and they'll take it, and it'll be a rough day in New Orleans when AB.
I know. I see. you know that's happening. Will Gilley, the Athletic, man, always a pleasure. We'll be talking through the final, sir.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, there he goes. Quick break. We come back. Let's hear nationally what they think about the NBA Finals. We'll take your phone calls and more. Hour 2 brought to you by Vinny's. We'll be there tomorrow, 3217 Ridgeley Drive in Metairie on ESPN New Orleans.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today, or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Men, are you having trouble with reduced energy, increased body fat, reduced libido, or even ED? Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengill for Men's Total Health, and these are signs of hormone imbalance. Low T can help impair immune response, cause insomnia, brain fog, and affect overall self-confidence. Pay Men's Total Health a visit today at 3829 Veterans and get tested. They have on-site labs, so you get results while you're there. Hormone balance can help you be your best self, improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net today.
Ramsey's has 50 showcases full of diamonds and designer engagement ring prototypes that haven't even been manufactured yet.
Other stores make empty claims and empty promises.
Ramsey's makes fantastic deals on fabulous diamond engagement rings.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers.
What would you say you do here?
Sports. Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation here at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. NBA Finals tonight, Game 1, where you're home for Pelicans basketball. Maybe one day, we'll be doing an NBA Finals pregame show. Huh? About that. I know it seems a little bit away. But there is a game going on tonight, Game 1. So let's kind of go through some of the thoughts nationally here that you've heard from the folks over on ESPN. And we just talked about this with Will Guillory. Rachel Nichols from The Jump, she also thinks a key matchup in this series will be AD versus Bam.
Bam Adebayo is going to have a huge role in these finals, and his battle with Anthony Davis is, you know, in some ways a mismatch. Obviously, AD, much more experienced, has different range than Bam, but Bam has shown such an incredible just ability to affect basketball games in this playoff so far. He is what kicked them down the closing stretch against the Celtics and got them in that final game to the NBA Finals.
Now, Jeff Van Gundy touching on the fact that he thinks the X factor in this series and for the Lakers, it's not LeBron, it's Anthony Davis.
They don't really seem to have a great matchup, particularly when LA stays big. And can they rebound with them? Because L.A. is so big, so powerful, all over the court, whereas, you know, Miami, they start basically four smalls and an undersized center.
That's where I think the chess match with Spoelstra is going to come in. You know, firsthand, by watching the Pelicans-Lakers series this season, remember the first couple games before Zion, we were just like, oh, we just can't wait to get some sort of athletic size to contend and compete. Because the things that were killing the Pelicans we saw in this postseason, in the bubble, when the Lakers were in trouble, AD drove to the basket, lived in the paint. LeBron drove to the basket, got in the paint, they went to the free throw line. Remember, Pels fans? Right? They'd give the Lakers game. Whistle. In the paint. The Pels just couldn't do it. When Zion first faced them, AD had to adjust, struggled a bit. You got to have size. You got to have athleticism. You got to have something dominant in the paint to help. But even in those games later on and in sweeping of the Pels, when the Lakers needed buckets and points, they drove. So how does Miami contend that when they really don't have that on their roster? And to the point that Will made, if Bam gets in foul trouble, you really don't have that on the roster. So it'll be interesting to see as how Spoelstra sort of does that. We've seen them go to a zone. We've seen them do things of that nature. They try to throw multiple defenders that way. Because Van Gundy, the reason I bring this up, because he also says while AD himself poses an issue in the size and length of the Lakers, the Heat play very good defense. And it's something that he thinks can make this a series.
I think the good thing about Miami in trying to limit James as much as possible is they have Jimmy Butler. Jay Crowder has the strength to play him. And then Iguodala, who played him a lot when he was in Golden State against Cleveland. So they have a third guy. Obviously, LeBron poses all these issues.
So you do see a little issues there that could present a little bit with LeBron, and that's obviously the other big storyline in this game, right? About LeBron and trying to win a ring with another team again in the finals. This morning on the morning show, LeBron's legacy.
The Lakers are minus 400 favorites at William Hill U.S. Sportsbooks.
Heavy favorite.
Heavy favorite. It would severely hurt his legacy. I mean, it's his basketball legacy. I think there are things he's doing off the court that will forever put him into the greats category. He will always be considered the greats. Things like more than the vote that he's doing off the court. The businesses he's been able to build. Obviously, basketball-wise, he's one of the greatest athletes, greatest players we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But you have another top five player on your team.
So that's Jay Williams saying, hey, if you do lose, it is going to hurt the whole legacy thing. Keyshawn, maybe a step further.
If he did lose, the question is about his legacy. It would just be one of those deals where you would go, damn. That's the way I would look at it. I would just say, damn.
So
it
wouldn't
really just lost. It wouldn't change what I think about him as a basketball player. It would change what I think about him up against other great players.
Mm.
The Kobe Bryants of the world, the Michael Jordans of the world.
So, again, you're judged on finals for a player like him, right? No doubt. That is something to keep an eye on as the series goes on. It may be pressure or not. I don't know. Another storyline that you've heard, Kendrick Perkins loves to throw this out there. Maybe they know it a lot more than I. That departure from Miami. I know it was made to kind of whether or not Pat Riley thought that LeBron was going to stay there for a bit and go back to Cleveland. Maybe some animosity. I don't know. Perkins says to him, this finals is indeed personal for LeBron and Pat Riley of the Heat.
This is not just the Heat versus the Lakers. This is Pat Riley versus LeBron James. They want to beat each other like the New York Jets want to lose by a game-winning field goal. You know, they both want this win. Whoa. They both want to win this series. The only problem is that Pat Riley can't do anything about it. LeBron James can, and he's on a mission. He gave us a sample size in game five, Greeny, by dropping 38, 14, and 10. Just a friendly reminder to what's going to happen in this series to the Miami Heat. And you know I love them goons from Dade County, but LeBron James is on a mission, and I'm pretty sure he is going to have it on his mind, and he wants all the smoke, all of it.
All right. And because of that, his pick for the NBA Finals winners are?
The legacy of LeBron is already carved in stone, all right? That's the first thing. Second of all, the Lakers are not winning. The Lakers are not losing this series. Long as they're healthy, they're winning this series. I'm guaranteeing this, okay? I'm going on the record to say I'm guaranteeing that the Lakers win this series. Now, I love them goons. They did a hell of a job getting there. But right now, the LeBron James I seen in game 5 against the Denver Nuggets, that's about to carry over. He's about to turn it up another gear. And Anthony Davis, I just don't see it happening.
There you go. How many oohs was that, buddy? I lost track. He was really excited there about Anthony Davis, wasn't he? Anyway, here's what it is, right? LeBron James?
Absolutely not. It's no extra meaning to win a championship, no matter who you're playing against. It's already hard enough to even reach the finals to be in this position. So if you're able to become victorious out of the finals, it doesn't matter who it's against. I'm just happy that I'm here with the opportunity.
There you go. I don't know why they're building this. I didn't realize it. I don't know why people think that it's trying to show up the heat. He won his championships in Miami first. I know he came back to Cleveland to try to do that, but I don't know. Maybe there was a lot more to that departure, you know? I don't know. Kendrick Perkins, though, one final bite from him. Again, we mentioned Doc Rivers interviewing in Philly. And New Orleans, the two teams immediately reaching out to Doc when he was let go by the Clippers. Perkins, he has a choice for Doc. It ain't New Orleans.
I would love to see Doc in Philly. I think he would be perfect. I think it's a match made in heaven with him and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Doc Rivers will be able to get the best out of Joel. Look at what he did for DeAndre Jordan.
All right, so we'll see where he goes if Philly allows him to get on out of there or not with an offer. But again, sort of like the discussion we had yesterday on the show, is Doc Rivers maybe preferring a team that can kind of win now, a little easier track path over in the Eastern Conference than the West. Major League Baseball playoff scoreboard quickly before our break. Yesterday, Astros won 4-1 over the Twins. White Sox over the A's 4-1, Blue Jays lose at Tampa 3-1, Yankees beat Cleveland 12-3. 8 games today. You already got a bunch in action already. In the ninth inning, poor Daniel Salerson. He thought he'd have a nice, easy, you know, Wednesday brunch. This game started at 11, Reds and Braves, no score. Top of the ninth, no score, nobody on, no out. Top of the ninth, Cincy. Trying to pull off that upset there. I think a lot of people thought that the Braves would win this series, winning that division again this year. Cubs and Marlins into the bottom of the second. No score there in that game. Coming up in a little bit, some other games where the Astros still lead the Twins 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning. So 3 games in action already right now. Marlins, Cubs, no score. Reds, Braves, no score in the ninth. In the fifth, Astros leading the Twins 1-0. Coming up at 2 o'clock, White Sox and A's at 3. Blue Jays and Rays at 4. It's the Cardinals and Padres at 6. The Yankees and the Indians. And at 9 o'clock, these are all central times, the Brewers and the Dodgers. So that is your slate of Major League Baseball games going on. And again, those games are going to be on ESPN, ESPN2, ABC right now where the Cubs are. And the only TBS game is the Blue Jays and Rays. Everything else is ESPN or ESPN2. And obviously, as you know, ABC will have the finals. It'll be LeBron and the Heat going at it. What do you got? Give us a call. Give us a tweet at ESPN Radio NOLA. Or you can give us a buzz, 800-998-1003. And what you think. Jay Fowl already has a question for Dr. McKenna. Oh, boy. I'll ask Dr. McKenna Jay Fowl's question. Would she tell an aging athlete in denial about diminishing skills? Integrative psychiatrist Dr. McKenna is coming up next on ESPN New Orleans. Yeah, now, someday, somewhere.
Lakes SUV clearance sale is going on now.
Now
at Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners are all marked down to the lowest prices. Plus, Greg LeBlanc needs your trade-in today to restock our used inventory. Great service, great deals. That's the Greg LeBlanc way.
Our goal is to save every buyer $2,000.
$2,000. Go to our website and find your perfect ride. That's Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Etel Business, your business, our priority. Business is fast, so you need to stay ahead with internet, phone, and Wi-Fi that's even faster. For a limited time, when you purchase two business services, you get 3 months free. That means your business is backed by Etel's reliable network, powered by local experts. Save now on the speed you need to run your business and get 3 months free with two or more services. Call 798-7952 or visit etelbusiness.com. Etel Business, your business, our priority.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
At Shell, we know from the time you get up to the time you wrap up,
good night,
there's a lot of meetups, eat-ups, and hurry-ups. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. Fill up with Shell V Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Each and every week, we are pleased to bring in Dr. Holly McKenna, the greatest psychiatrist over at Dara Wellness NOLA. Go check her out. DaraWellnessNOLA.com. Already got a question for you, Dr. McKenna. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
You doing?
I'm doing fine. Jay Fowl on Twitter has a question for you, and I promised I'd pass it along. Please ask Dr. McKenna what she would tell an aging athlete in denial about diminishing skills.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's about them recognizing their own abilities and being aware of that. Right?
Yeah, I guess we could apply that to ourselves, right? Understanding that sometimes we have to accept the truths of reality and the truths of lives. We can fix a lot of different things. Father time cannot be fixed, but at the same time, we can do other things. And it's kind of one of the topics we want to get into today. And that is almost a number of different, I guess, variations of burnout, right? I mean, a lot of times I think you hear that phrase or word and people feel, oh, I work too much, I'm burnt out. But can burnout mean a lot of other different things, or is it just based off of you're burnt out from work?
Really, I mean, you can be burnt out from anything that you are spending an intense amount of time with or dedicating a lot of energy towards. It doesn't have to necessarily be a paid occupation. I've seen folks burn out from volunteer experiences or even creating their own like marching organization or volunteer organization or what have you and burning out from that. Really, it's just having so much come at you requiring time, energy, patience, and finding that you no longer have the energy that you need to keep it going.
You know, and I think one of the things that that interests me about this topic from the beginning is just, I guess, the realization of it. Because we've talked about depression, we've talked about you can get down on yourself and trying to get out of that. But are there ways to, I guess, first realize that you are in, quote, either burnout scenario syndrome or that you've kind of, for lack of a better phrase, have hit a rut?
Yeah, I mean, if you find that you just are no longer feeling fulfilled with what you're doing, or it's really causing the opposite of fulfillment, like you're really dreading your time doing something, It's usually it'll affect your relationships. Like if you are in an experience where you're burning out, you might be a little short-tempered, less likely to be able to communicate effectively. And honestly, it can really zap your energy. So really you're in all likelihood also neglecting yourself. And mm-hmm. so maybe not sleeping well, not eating well, and, you know, doing all the things that we talk about to really stay well.
You know, even when there are times whether you have a lot of on your mind, you know what mm-hmm. I mean by that? Where I mean, I'm thinking either about work or I'm thinking about school or a relationship or something. All of those different areas, can that almost be somewhat like a burnout too, where you're thinking too much about something?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we waste so much creative space worrying about things that we can't control and can't predict. There's so much energy spent thinking about the future and what might happen, whether it be next week or in November or whatever our personal experience is driving us towards worrying about. And really, you know, the secret to that, it's not an easy one, is to try to focus on the moment and really allow yourself to see what's in front of you rather than spending all that energy, that mind energy, thinking about things that you really can't control because they're not even here yet.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Dr. Holly McKenna, and Dr. McKenna is the way to follow over on Twitter, Dower Wellness NOLA online. All right, so how do I help that? Are there some exercises or things that I can do if I start feeling, or maybe not even I start feeling, because I guess this is where your friends and family can come in, right? I'm like, hey, you've kind of been saying this phrase or kind of feeling this, so you're at home. Have you gotten out lately or things like, what are some signs, I guess, of burnout? Let's start there.
Right, right. Really not sleeping well, not being your usual jovial self, not eating well. Just feeling really low. You know, it can approach looking like a depression.
Yep.
We've seen, you know, folks who are in kind of high stress, occupations are also at high risk for suicide because this burnout can really flip into something that's really not good and that you need professional help for. So really just opening those lines of communication, being aware that the person who's burned out might not be the most easy to communicate with just because they're not in the great space, but just holding space for that so that they feel heard and maybe can bounce some ideas off of you as far as what to do next.
It's interesting when it comes to, I guess, diagnosing or understanding that you're feeling certain ways, and you've heard me just mention it too, friends and family, how important is it for people that you're close to be able to point those things out, and how do you do that, I guess, tactfully? It's not always the easiest, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it sounds much easier than maybe it right. is, but a lot of it is going to be listening. It's really not so much telling someone how they feel, but mm-hmm. really allowing them to talk about what they're thinking and feeling in any given moment. And really not only asking them, but allowing them to talk about it. And then maybe not necessarily jumping to the space that we all feel comfortable in where you tell them what you would do or what their next steps should be, because that is a real easy way for someone to not feel heard
mm-hmm.
and to maybe give up on conversating about it. So really just allowing for that space, allowing for the conversation, and just being supportive. You know, a lot of times people just need to talk it out. And maybe come up with the solution themselves, but having a sounding board do that safely is going to go far.
You know, Doctor, we always talk about the importance of being able to let somebody know how you feel about them, or also understanding that. Because when I'm listening to you talk too, how important is it for us to be receptive to that? Because I almost think like people inherently, I know I am, I'm defensive. Like, I mean, my wife will be like, you're sick. You need to go to the doctor. I'm like, I'm good. I'm fine, man. It's just a little fever. But so being receptive to when someone says that, to at least, you know, introspectively, I guess, just kind of take a few minutes to be like, okay, well, why is that person feeling that way? Would that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's probably when you are communicating to someone, if you are concerned, having actual behavioral examples is going to be super helpful. So when I'm talking to a patient that maybe I have concerns about, just saying you seem depressed doesn't necessarily jive as much as, you know, you mentioned you're not sleeping as well. Mm-hmm. Your energy seems really low to me. You're not making eye contact. I'm having a hard time hearing you because your voice is so low. You know, just really kind of making it very concrete to the person so that they can maybe realize what they're putting out to folks around them might help them see that they might have something they need to get some intervention around or think about, like, why are you feeling this way? Is it that you are burned out with your job or your volunteer experience or whatever it is that's causing this? And is there something that we can do to change that?
Had Dr. McKenna on Twitter, Dr. D-R-M-A-C-K-E-N-A. And, of course, at DaraWellnessNola.com. What can folks find when they go to the website?
There's more information there as far as if you want to reach out to me and engage in any type of treatment with integrative psychiatry. And then, of course, I have my YouTube channel that I have episodes there on my website or at YouTube. And I meet weekly with folks around New Orleans who are focusing on providing some wellness opportunities and help people live their best lives. And I'm honored to be a part of that. So I invite folks to join us over there.
Dr. Holly McKenna, appreciate the time as always once a week. Thank you so much. Enjoy the beautiful weather outside.
I know, right? Go walk in it. Absolutely.